reading today is from Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 11, and this can be found on page 1092 of the Pew Bibles. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, men of Galilee. They said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
When Simon read to us earlier, he spoke of Jesus being caught up into heaven. Some translations say that he was caught up in a cloud. And that takes us to a word that doesn't actually appear in the Bible. It's a Hebrew term called Shekinah. And it's referred to when God took his people out of Egypt. He led them by a pillar of cloud during the day, but also at night there was a pillar of fire. He was leading them. And there was an element of God's glory there as well. When Moses asked to see God face to face, well, it wasn't possible. And it's not possible for anyone to see him face to face, because the glory is too great. But there's another meaning to Shekinah. It means he caused to dwell. And we can take something from that meaning, because God has come to us. He causes us to dwell. Call upon his name and he will cause you to dwell, to stand firmly, to become the person that he has called you to be in your time, in his time. He causes us to dwell. That means taking our place. That means being his witnesses. That means doing whatever it might take to glorify him and to share who he is. Now, most of us think, "I can't do that." And naturally, that's true. But he causes us to dwell. And when his glory comes, that transforms who you think you are and what you think you might be able to do in Jesus' name. Shekinah, he causes us to dwell. Have you ever heard your name in print? Many people aspire to it, but it's not all it's made out to be. Could be a cause of celebration for some, a proud moment for others, or a time of shame or infamy for others still. There was a time with newspaper reporting when today's news could be discarded by tomorrow. But with the advent of the internet, news can linger and not be easily erased. Whilst I've had my name in print on occasion, it's also been engraved. That's a different matter altogether. Go to the back of Edsel Church in Angus and you'll find a brass plaque dating to the 1600s. On it are engraved the names of all the ministers who responded to God's call to serve in that church and parish, sometimes for many years. Of course, my name is now also there, and very soon it will be superseded by another, as the year when I departed will now be engraved. Now I'll no longer be the last name on that list. I'll have become one of those who have gone before. That plaque often caught my attention during my previous ministry. It became a reminder that I had taken my place in a long line of God's servants. It was a reminder that I had not only filled a space, but fulfilled God's will in the process. Importantly, it reminded me that there was a place for me, and that there was a time for me too. At the outset, though, that time could not be determined. There was a start point, but that plaque remained untouched with its polished surface, and that made me wonder when the end date would ever be added. When I read Acts chapter 1, I'm reminded of God's involvement in life, my life and the life of anyone who believes in God. It's all too easy to think of here and now, of what we know of our experience of life as we've known it. Yet the Christian faith speaks of more. First is the issue of trust. How much of life is time constrained? From our earliest understanding comes a desire to grow up. As we get older, comes a desire to seek youthfulness once again. There are markers and change points, all defined by time. Education, work, and leisure all have schedules and constraints to follow. Even free time isn't so free after all. Time dictates so much of what we do and who we are. Translate that into faith, and we want things to happen. When will it be that others become Christians, that the church grows, that a greater Christian influence is experienced in our community, our culture, our world? When will it be, if ever, that we all see eye to eye? And then there's Jesus' return, the consummation of the age. Will it be sooner rather than later? Will it have any bearing on my life or yours? All these and more could dictate, but Jesus said, it's not for you to know. There are some things that we can know and should know, but not all things. And so Luke wrote down the advice of God spoken by his Son. And through it all is that call to trust, to believe that there is a plan and purpose for our lives, yes, but to know it all the more. It's that experience of knowing that God can not only bring balance to our lives, but work within and through us. It's His timing that brings us into the world, His timing that prompts our experience of the world for whatever reason, His timing that brings us into relationship with Him, His timing which ensures our relationship with Him brings with it purpose and meaning, making who we are into someone of benefit and blessing to others. For it's through His timing that opportunities arise, relationships evolve, possibilities materialize, and achievement occurs. Yet Jesus said to them, don't be fixated by time. Don't make it your hope, and don't make it your measure. Instead, be free to be you, in and through Jesus Christ. For when you're free of time, you'll be ready and available for any season, for any task, for any call that He gives, whatever time of life that may come. Instead of time, think of readiness. Think of availability. Think of willingness to do and say and go as God directs. That's when power is needed. We need the Holy Spirit more than can be imagined. You need Him more than you can imagine. And so do I. There was a time when Jesus spoke of Him. Then there was a time when He came. Yet now He remains. Believe in Jesus and don't wait too long before seeking to be filled with Him. Going on with Jesus, don't put off being filled again and again and again. We might wonder about power, but translate that to ability, efficiency, and might. For this is the description as originally intended. Translate that further and think of gifts and talents energized and enabled by God. The capacity to do things energized and enabled by God. All combined with strength and authority energized and enabled by God. Allow that to take hold of your life and situation, and what a difference there will be. Allow that to take hold of the church, and of course, what a difference there will be too. But take that with you, for now you can. Now you are His witnesses. Now you can speak. Now you can share. Now you can go. Through a door, across a room, or to the other side of the street, all with the message of Jesus glowing around you, spilling forth from you. For wherever you now go, His power goes also. That's the Christian life described by Jesus, as envisaged by God and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. This is where the book of Acts differs from what we know of church for the most part. The disciples, left to their own devices, would have continued to stare upwards, heavenwards. Yet God's intentions were, and are otherwise, bringing with it a reminder that Jesus will return, that His return is essential, for His return is the goal. This actually is and should be the motivation, the driving force, the reason for living, the purpose of the Christian life. What is the equivalent for us of simply gazing heavenwards? And what instead is the equivalent of becoming God's witnesses? It comes from knowing our place in God's plan. A place where you're more than tolerated, you're loved, you're accepted, forgiven, valued, and blessed. It comes from knowing that this is your time, that your times are in His hands, past, present, and future, that in this time, God is at work within. And if you'll let Him, He will work through you. This is about being and becoming a disciple who heralds God's kingdom, as everything that's said and everything that's done has an end point in sight. It's about taking your rightful place as someone who believes. A place that God has enabled, that He has decreed, that He has lived and died for, that He has risen for, and that He will one day return for. In all of this, you are not alone. There are names aplenty already, and there are stories galore of all that faith in Jesus has come to mean, whether they're written or recorded or engraved, doesn't matter. For ultimately, God knows. What the book of Acts tells us, and what He would say to us, is simply, now and then. Now, be and become all that God would have you be. Then, you'll enable Him to come all the more quickly. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for coming. We thank You for being. And we thank You in advance for Your return. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Until then, may we know You more. And may many more know You as well. As Your power is made known in and through us. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.